You are tuned into the Business Elevation Show with your host, Chris Cooper. If you have a question or comment about our show, please direct your emails to chris@chriscooper.co.uk. That's chris@chriscooper.co.uk. Now back to Chris Cooper.
I'm with Mike Mooney. We're talking about reputation. And if you've got any questions or comments about the show, do feel free to email me. I'd love to hear from people and get feedback and that sort of thing. So, Mike, when facing a potential reputation disaster, what are the things we should look at to avert it?
Sure. So in the book, I've got a pretty comprehensive step-by-step on building that plan and how you repair, but I'd like to take a different look at it for a second. This is a more introspective and proactive look, which is really in the tone and the mindset of how I've written this, and I'd love people, your listeners, to start thinking about reputations and approaching that. So the first thing I would say is this: if you're facing some type of you know, reputation question or disaster, the first thing I'd ask you to do is, have you honestly identified the root cause of the issue? Have you taken a look inside to figure out what's the cause of this? What happened? Because if you're in denial about your actions, you'll truly never address the issue and whatever the issue is. You know, Chris, have you been in the carnival and they've got that game called Whack-A-Mole? Have you ever played that game where you get the hammer?
Yeah.
And the little head keeps popping up and you keep smacking it down, but it keeps popping up somewhere else? That's what's going to happen. If you're not addressing the root issue or cause of what's happened, it's going to be like a game of whack-a-mole. You know, so you've got to take that time to think about it. And I'm sure we can think of people who we know like that. It just seems like they're constantly, oh, they did that again. Oh, yeah, that happened again. Not surprising with that person, right? So that's something to really take stock in. The second thing I would recommend is think about how quickly you move past your emotions to get to the plan, right? It's human nature to be upset when people are criticizing you or saying things about you that are either unfair, untrue, or maybe they are fair or true, but it's still, you know, emotional nonetheless, right? I mean, you go through the round of questions: why me? You know, how'd this happen? You know, this person's out to get me. All fair points in that moment, but if we stew on those, it really drains precious energy and time to get to work. And from my experience, Chris, when it comes to dealing with crisis situations, time is the one thing you will never, ever get back. Ever get back. So you really have to think about, okay, I'm gonna move past the emotion and get working on my plan.
I'm thinking about things like, I remember, I think it was a Virgin train crash, and, you know, Richard Branson or incident, and Richard Branson was there within several hours, you know, at the scene and talking about it. He was straight onto the issue.
Absolutely. And that's key. That's key. I mean, emotions play a role. But you got to get to the plan. The third part I would say is getting back to being, you know, real honest with yourself: is what is being said about me true?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if it's not, then be mindful of how much energy you spend refuting these accusations versus just continuing to let your actions speak for yourself.
Yes, yes. You know? Is this book also addressing sort of marriage guidance as well?
Marriage guidance? Yeah, you know, that it could certainly be read for that also. Absolutely, absolutely. You know, so that to me, those are the key things. You know, you've really got to identify the root cause of the issue. Think about how quickly you move past your emotions and get to a plan. And then, you know, assess, is what's being said about me true or not? And that'll help you, you know, look at how much time and energy and effort you need to spend on this.
Now, you also say there's an equation for reputation. And what's that?
Yeah, so that's, you know, for me being in communications, most people in the communications field were horrible in math, right? I'm going to make a blanket generalization on that, but speak for myself. So as I started digging into, you know, my experiences and looking at where that breakdown occurred, it was really at the crossroads of decisions and behavior. Think about that intersection, decisions and behavior. And I started thinking through that and looking at these examples and going through case studies, and I figured out in most cases the missing link were our values.
Yeah.
Our personal values. Very simple. Right? I mean, they ground us. They guide us. So what I did, I developed this sort of visual equation that starts with our values, and it goes like this. Our values guide our decisions. Our decisions guide our behavior. Our consistent behavior over time becomes our reputation. So values plus decisions plus behavior plus time equal reputation.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, absolutely. It's you've got to be in this for the long haul.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it really, those are the foundation for building and protecting your reputation. But again, you know, we've got to take the time to sit back and think about what do we really value? What is it as a leader, as an entrepreneur, as someone that's trying to get better, you know, personally? Like, what is important to me? What do I stand for? And keep that front and center.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And yes, if you say one thing, but your behavior suggests another, that impacts your reputation, doesn't it?
It does. And that's really where the breakdown occurs, Chris, when there's a disconnect between what we say and what we do. You know, I had a mentor tell me years back, and I love this quote, is he said, when you're trying to change anything, when you're instituting change, I don't care if it's culture, I don't care if it's with your reputation, whatever, people are going to watch your feet, not your mouth.
Yeah.
So think about what you're doing versus what you're saying, because it's easy to say you're going to change, but are you really walking the walk?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's... Again, I quote this quite regularly in the quote I got out, The Speed of Trust, that I really like, is that people judge themselves based on their intentions, but others will judge them on their behavior.
Yeah.
And I think that's very true, isn't it? And, you know, that gap, that disconnect.
And if you, you know, you think back to the examples we see in the media with politicians or athletes or other things, and they're really, you know, there was an opportunity for there to be a different outcome if people had stopped and really thought about what was important, not the short-term gain for shareholders or their own personal benefit, right? That gets back to the one degree of behavior, but over the long haul of, you know, thinking through the values and really staying true to them. And then that might sound very, you know, high and mighty, but I really believe if you look out there today, we could all benefit from digging in deeper with our values and living those out.
You also talk about visualizing your own instant replay. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. All right, so Chris, let me ask you, I sort of know the answer to this, but what is your favorite sport?
Well, I would say these days it's football.
Okay, so when you're watching football, different from American football, clearly, and you're watching on TV and there's a really close play, what typically happens on TV when they want to look at that close play again?
Oh, so when they recap, do you mean? What do you mean? Do you mean there's been a...
So there's been a close play, there's a questionable call, they're going to look at it from a couple of different perspectives, right?
Right.
They're going to pull in the instant replay.
Yeah. Actually, that doesn't really occur in soccer, in our football. It should do, but the referee makes the decision. It doesn't go to a TV screen or anything like that. In rugby, it would do. We'd often like that to occur, like the penalty we didn't get against Arsenal last week.
Where that could have been a benefit, right? So
yeah.
the beauty of the instant replay, at least, okay. So for here in our sports. Is it's the chance to look at the same play from multiple angles, right? You're showing different perspectives. And in NASCAR, you know, it's one of those rare sports where, you know, drivers can be in a wreck or an accident. They get out of the car and there's a microphone in their face. And the media is looking for an instant reaction to what happened out there. And for years, you know, the microphone will be shoved in the driver's face. He's all angry and ticked off about what happened. And he would just start acting based on what he saw or what he thought happened. An interesting thing happened or occurred a few years back where the TV crew started bringing small TV monitors with them. And when they would ask the driver what happened, they would actually show them an instant replay from a couple of different angles. And it was the response, Chris, was pretty amazing because the driver actually stopped, reflected, and said, in more cases than not, would say, oh, I didn't realize that happened ahead of that driver, or I didn't realize that happened behind this person. And it changed the outcome of their behavior. It completely changed the way that they looked at the situation and how they approached their next steps. So I got to thinking, what if we did the same thing? What if we applied that thought process of visualizing our own instant replay, looking at what we are going to do when we're making significant decisions, and looked at it from different perspectives, took a moment to stop and think, how would it look from this side or that side, personally, professionally, from my faith, from my family? How would that look? And is it something that I want to pursue and keep doing, or would I act differently? I think Ryan Lochte, if he had a chance to, you know, think back and visualize the instant replay of the dollars he lost and, you know, the embarrassment and the damage to his reputation, he might have thought differently.
Yeah, it's really important that is that you get the emotion, and it might not be good judgment, which can occur immediately after the event, and you see that all the time. And I think sometimes with that immediate microphone in the face of a sports personality, the media kind of want to capture those things, and the next thing it's all over the media, isn't it? He said this about so and so, or and then that caused further upset and
absolutely
anger, and it spirals. And but they like, the media kind of likes that.
They do. But let's shift gears and think about what we see on social media these days, where people like you and me or others that are trying to, you know, develop their career are putting things on social media that are keeping them from opportunities, or in some cases they're losing their jobs. You know, in other cases, you know, there's a study out there that, you know, more than 90% of human resources recruiters are checking applicants, you know, social media channels, and after they check it, more than one-third of those candidates are dropped by what's found on there.
Yes. Yes.
Right? So, again, it's how it's causing real and significant opportunity loss to income, career, promotions, what have you, based on our actions. So, again, you know, it's something to think about. I'm trying to, throughout the book, come up with and deliver some messages and stories and perspectives that people can use on a daily basis.
Yes, well, I think it's going to be a very, very interesting book from the segments that I've read. I thought it was a fascinating read, and I think you can interweave that with the this great experience you've got of NASCAR. It's going to be, you know, really, really interesting. And I just wonder if you've got any final messages that you'd like to leave us with.
Yeah, you know, I'd say keep in mind that, you know, our reputations are evolving, right? They're always works in progress, and I'd emphasize the work in progress, you know? So I'd say that, you know, the final thought I would say is, again, getting back to that definition earlier, that, you know, your reputation speaks for you when you aren't there to speak for yourself. So I'd ask, you know, you or maybe your listeners, you know, what is your reputation saying about you? And what can you do today to enhance and strengthen it?
Yeah, it's a great message to leave us with. Look, Mike, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you. I think you're a great guy, and I think you've got some great value to add to people. And I wish you every success with the launch of the new book.
Chris, thank you so much for having me on the show. Honestly, you've been a gracious host, and it's been a fantastic conversation. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And Mike, is there anywhere that people can go to find out more about what you do and your work?
Yeah, sure. You can go to MikeMooney.com for my website there. You can get some of my blog and some other information. You can download a free chapter of the book before it comes out. And then I'm on Twitter, Instagram, at Mike_Mooney. And LinkedIn. You can get me on there, too.
Excellent. Well, sure to connect with Mike. And thank you, Mike. And on next week's show, we have Elizabeth Finberg Hearn. And Elizabeth is from Stockholm in Sweden, which is great because that's where I've just been for my holidays, actually, so we'll have a little chat about Sweden. But she is an expert on sustainability, and we're going to talk about becoming a sustainable leader and how you do that. So do join us again next week. Once again, a huge thank you to Mike Mooney, and I wish you all a tremendous week with whatever you're doing this week. Thank you.